Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service at Emmanuel this morning. Welcome also to those who will be listening to the recording of the service later in the week. I would like to extend a warm welcome to all visitors to today's service. Please speak to your neighbour, introduce yourself at the end of the service, and please do join us for tea and coffee, which will be served in the hall at the back of the church at the end of the service. I'd also like to thank Tony Barnes for leading our worship this morning. Emmanuel is a member of the Swindon Old Town Partnership of Churches, and we have joined with our sister United Reformed Church in Highworth. This morning, the Bible readings will be read by Edith Watson and me, Helen Marson. Can I remind everyone about our harvest appeal? And that will be open for another couple of weeks. And for those of you who haven't noticed, we have the new handrails at the back of the church. So thank you, Buildings and Grounds, for organising that. I've also heard today that Wootton Bassett United Reformed Church is celebrating their 200th birthday. So I will now light the Christ candle, which reminds us of Christ's light in the world, and then the peace candle.
God's grace and peace are with us. Let us worship God. The hymn numbered 33, Eternal God, your love's tremendous glory.
You are Lord, you are Lord, you are Lord.
Let us pray. Dear God, we come to worship you in the knowledge and understanding that these bricks and this mortar, and indeed our words, cannot contain you, cannot express the fullness of your being. And so, O God, we address you as we are able, and we address you in all humility. As creator, life giver, sustainer, we accord you our designations of holiness and of love, and we come before you as searchers and as those who, as the body of Christ together, seek to be the very image of your love in the world. And so we can only come, O God, intentionally to worship you in the name of Christ, for it is in him that we are called. It is in him that we are forgiven. It is in him that we are nurtured in faith, in hope, and in love. For in your name he has come among us, and we cannot ignore him. We have read his story, and we pray that his story may be ours, and that indeed his prayers for your kingdom may be ours, that the whole earth may rejoice in the glory of your splendor, your peace, your love, your oneness, your power only to create. And so we come before you, O God, as penitents, as those who plead, and yet as those who, in confidence together, know that you will bless us out of the immensity of your love. And God, we confess through our memories and through our recollections the things that we have done and said that cause us now shame, our failures in love, the ways in which we have hurt one another and so many on our journey. But we come knowing, O God, that you heal and bless, so that in this very moment we open the door upon life yet again, and we find you beckoning, and we find you embracing us and calling us yet again into fullness of life, the light of your presence. And so, O God, we worship you, we praise and we adore you, and we pray that nothing will distract us from that adoration, from that praise. Eternal God, giver of love and peace, you call all people to live together as one family. Give us grace to learn your ways and to do your will, that we may bring justice and peace to all people, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Choir. leads our worship as they sing the anthem, a setting of Ave Verum Corpus, Blessed Word of God Incarnate, set to music by Robert Lucas Pearsall. Reading from the epistle this morning, Paul writes to Timothy, who is the minister of the church in Ephesus, and he writes about keeping the faith in costly service.
The reading is taken from Paul's second letter to Timothy, and it's, if you wish to follow it, it's chapter 4. Verses 6 to 8 on page 211 of the Pew Bibles. As for me, I am already being poured out as a libation, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. For now on, there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. This is the word of the Lord.
The hymn numbered 726, a setting of Psalm 121. I to the hills will lift mine eyes.
Thank you.
Gospel reading.
The reading is from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 18, and reading from verse 1. When Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart, he said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, 'Grant me justice against my opponent.' For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, 'Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says, and will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?' He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. 2 men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, 'God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income.' But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.' I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other, for all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
May my words and all our thoughts be acceptable to you, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. For my dear friends at Emmanuel, it may be of absolutely no interest to you whatsoever, or it might have gripped your heart so that today you are in the depth of mourning to hear that Claudia Winkleman and Tess Daly, from the end of this series of Strictly Come Dancing, that nod to the glitter ball on Saturday nights, prime viewing on BBC TV, will no longer be presenting the show. You may never have heard of Strictly Come Dancing, and that's fine. And it may be of no interest to you, but I'm now informing you of this earth-shattering news that broke upon us some point during the week. And so if the show continues, then their iconic cry, which concludes each episode, will no longer be uttered by them, but by someone else. Keep dancing. Keep praying. Jesus encourages his disciples in today's gospel reading from Luke. And to impress the point vividly on their imagination and memory, does so as often he did by telling a story. Now, if we were among those followers of Jesus listening to him at this point and entering into dialogue with him about the tale that he's telling, because that was the point of parables, people did talk about them, there were interruptions, there was heckling, there was discussion, there was dialogue, then we may conjecture, or I invite you to do so, that they might have challenged him with the question, well, really, is God truly like a lazy lawyer who will get off his bottom to help a client only in order to get rid of her, for whom he feels absolutely no sympathy, but only irritation, because he's no regard, as the gospel reading says, no regard for her or for anybody else for that matter. And there seems to be in there a trace, a hint of misogyny, this annoying woman. And Jesus might very well have replied, come on, my dear friends. You have heard this sort of teaching, this media of teaching before, from other rabbis and from me. My dear disciples, it's a parable. And in a parable, you listen for the main teaching point, the only teaching point. And here it is. Will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? And the clear invited answer is yes. Yes, he will. Keep praying. Keep praying. And indeed, very beginning of this segment of teaching, the gospel writer lets us in on Jesus' main point in case we should be dim enough to miss it. I quote, then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray and not lose heart. And there it is. So do we pray and not lose heart? Well, let's be clear. Just as God is clearly not the unloving judge in the tale, nor are we the widow who wouldn't take no for an answer, in whatever way we would answer the question, do we pray? This passage, this whole passage, both parables from Luke, are not about success and failure, about guilt or virtue. And furthermore, indeed, there are countless numbers of people, whether confessing faith or not, who land or discover themselves in life situations where they find it impossible to pray. You might have been there yourself. You may be there indeed. I remember the obituary of a fellow Methodist minister of mine who in the last stage of her life lived with severe depression over many months. And the obituary disclosed that for all that period before she died, she had been unable to pray. Jesus is not saying here that there was an accusing big controller on the other side of death's door waiting to condemn her. And in any case, prayer is a corporate thing. Is it not? Others prayed for her, including, as it happens, her devoted carer in those days, who was a devout Muslim and offered her comfort as well as practical support in her final hours. Not about judgment, not about good and bad, but none of that diminishes our need to be reminded time and time again that for the Christian and for the church to persist in prayer is the essence of what we are. And what we believe about being truly alive. You will recall that Jesus prayed, and that at the end of his journey to the cross, indeed, those prayers featured drops of sweat and a cry of forsakenness. These two parables in Luke point to the inseparable link between prayer and what the New Testament calls eternal or everlasting or fullness of life. This is of the essence because it's about our being in God, our responding to God, and God being in us. Such prayer, of course, may be prayer for each other, the prayers of others for us, communal, private devotions, including, and we know, don't we, the categories thanksgiving, confession, adoration, in the name of Christ, and as Montgomery, great 19th century hymn writer, wrote, uttered or unexpressed, uttered or unexpressed. But prayer in the name of Christ, as Christ prayed himself and taught his disciples, will pitch us invariably against the powers of this world that threaten to impoverish human life and creation. You will know much earlier in Luke's account of Jesus' ministry, his followers asked him directly to teach them how to pray. He said to them, and you know the words, when you pray, you say, Our Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. That's at the heart, that's at the core of prayer in the name of Christ. Those are the words Christ teaches us to pray. Your kingdom come on earth as in heaven. This is not only hoping for what will be, but this is tuning in, becoming sensitized to what is already real in a fractured world of almost, we may sometimes think, overwhelming human suffering, dislocation, lostness, grief inflicted by unjust economic and political systems, fired by greed, doesn't acknowledge God, and the illnesses of body and mind that can affect any of us. The kingdom of God is come near, Jesus announces, does he not, at the outset of his ministry in Mark, and Israel in his ministry recorded in the Gospels, and in the unreserved self-giving, often leading to emotional and physical suffering, and even the ultimate sacrifice on the part of those who in our days exercise kindness, mercy, healing, truth-telling, justice-seeking, and do so in the midst of surrounding conflict, poverty, and oppression. Figures yet to be calculated. For instance, the numbers of medics, journalists, latest count about 250 of them, aid workers, so on and on, who have been slaughtered just in Gaza. Never mind how many other conflict zones around the world. To pray, your kingdom come, with the wounds of Jesus in focus before us, and to pray and pray again until, like Thomas after the resurrection, we feel those wounds as our own, because we are part of this compromised humanity, means we are that much more human, that much more alive, in tune with God's love and God's suffering for God's people, including us. I was reminded, because I came across it this morning, of words from one of your own Reformed hymn writers and poets, Brian Wren, which catches really the point perfectly, what it means to pray in this world. Come, he writes, come, occupy with glad descent where death and evil fence the ground, and pitch a resurrection tent where peace is lived and love is found. And indeed, to do that, even in our own weak and it sometimes seems peripheral way, through our praying and our acting, will make us aware, will it not, of our own desperate need of mercy and the spirit of love to enliven our souls. As we pray, give us this day our daily bread for God's sake, and forgive us our trespasses. In a Christmas message as Bishop of London, Dame Sarah Mullaly, the nominated next Archbishop of Canterbury, hallelujah, quoted the poet Emily Dickinson's vision of hope, I quote, as a small bird that perches in the soul throughout dark times. A small bird that perches in the soul throughout dark times. Jesus' invitation to us in this gospel passage to pray always and not to lose heart is his expression of hope. And believe in us, that we may share his love for the world, kindness, compassion, in self-giving to our neighbours and the strangers in our midst, and to the wider world as we become more aware, as we allow that small bird to perch in our soul. Now, how we pray is a question for a lifetime of searching and sharing together. But remember, always remember, there are no experts in prayer. There are only people who pray. God's love for us will accept the meanest prayer if it is offered. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Hallowed, blessed be your name, loving, life-giving parent God. Your kingdom come, your will be done. That's a good start. If you feel you haven't got time for anything else, maybe even it's a good end. And of course, we recall that we pray with the whole church, local on earth, in heaven, and with the besieged Christians and others in Gaza, on the West Bank, Israel, Palestine, and for instance, speaking denominationally, the Methodist Church in war-torn upper Myanmar, where Christians have been dispersed to all parts of their realm by rebel violence in Sudan, the Methodist people, reading about over this last week, in gang-ridden Haiti, whose churches have been some vandalized almost to the point of demolition. And if they continue to pray, "Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come," then who are we to dare be silent? Amen. Hymn numbered 620, "For the Healing of the Nations." The offering. Out of the abundance, O God, of your giving to us, we offer you these gifts, tokens and embodiment of our desire that your kingdom, your realm, may be realized in our midst and for the world. And so we pray together, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all evermore. Amen. Friends, in our prayers of thanksgiving and intercession to the words, God, in your mercy, I invite you to respond as you will. Hear our prayer. Let us pray. Creator God, we give you thanks. Creation speaks your glory. You have made every person in your image. You welcome those who are vulnerable with open arms of compassionate acceptance. Redeemer God, we give you thanks. Where the weak and broken lie bruised and discarded, you challenge the complacent, revealing the truth of our lies, and invite the wounded to your feast of life. Sustaining God, we give you thanks. You breathe life into places of deathly fear. You increase our understanding of things too hard to comprehend and draw us into your dance of loving joy. God, through the life, the ministry, death, and resurrection of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, you speak your present, living, life-giving, and final word. We give you thanks. Storytelling God, as in your Son, Jesus Christ, you gathered the crowds in Galilee and stretched the imaginations of the affluent and defeated, be known as you are present in the world today, where the lonely stare at screens and deception comes via glamorous lies, when we cultivate the ethos of insiders and outsiders. Speak into our hearts the depths of your love story, a story of grace and hope and beautiful mercy, a story of joy-filled expectation, a story of new beginnings, a story of hope. Enable us to make your love real. May your story be our story, our end, our beginning, and our whole life's journey. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O God, in Jesus you embrace all our human condition. In him you weep with us, lament with us, and strive with us for a world of righteousness and justice. We grieve with communities, families, and individuals near and far in your world who are afflicted by violence, who mourn for those lost to its effects, who grieve for their loved ones who are parted from them, and who yearn for a better future. We pray for all asylum seekers and refugees, including the few who come into our midst, that there may be no strangers among us, only friends, as indeed none of us are strangers to you. Send your Holy Spirit afresh upon us, we pray. Make us channels of peace. Renew in us Christ's work of reconciliation. Give us the wisdom to know what makes for healing and to give our lives for it in his name. Inspire us to plant and to nurture your seeds of hope, that your grace might flow in abundance and all your children know the freedom which is your promise and your gift in Christ. God, in your mercy, we pray for all those known to us whose lives bear the heaviness of struggle, pain, anxiety, loneliness, insecurity at this time. And for all our neighbours in Christ, in joy and in pain, for all whose joy we would share, for all who make a fresh start today. And we pray for ourselves as we journey on together, rejoicing in one another's company and in your presence. And as we journey in faith, we pray for people who find it hard to pray joyfully because of their circumstances. May your Spirit strengthen people who feel disabled by the decline of their powers of memory, thought, reason. Help us to encourage others and to be kind, good listeners, and compassionate, for we are members of one body. God, in your mercy, come as a dove flying over still waters of hope, putting peace into the hearts of people who would wage war. Come as water cascading down a mountain, washing away the inequities of wealth and poverty. Come, change the story. Come, Holy Spirit, come now. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The hymn numbered 293, Ye Servants of God. us go in peace in the power of the Spirit to live and work to God's praise and glory. And the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit remain with us now and forever. Amen.